When I awaken in the morning and my eyes receive the precious glint of golden day, I feel inside me a heart that stretches eagle's wings and sings forth Jesus' praise. And I say, thank you, Jesus, Lord, for breathing your life into me. Let me drink the cup you give, that I may live my life for you, for your good pleasure, for your good pleasure. When the shadows fall, Jesus calls me closer to his side. The heat of day is leaving. We walk the Eden of my life, he's made so sweet, to the cool of evening. And I say, thank you, Jesus, Lord, for breathing your life into me. Let me sit here at your feet and just listen to your word and your very heartbeat for your good pleasure, for your good pleasure, for your good pleasure, oh, for your good pleasure. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and as you learn of me, in your soul you will be refreshed. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I am kind and gentle, yet with healing might. Take my yoke upon you, and as you learn of me, in your soul you will be refreshed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord of Jubilee. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Written Revelation 19:10. It's the spirit of prophecy. It's the testimony of Jesus. Testimony, the attestation of our lips proceeding from our heart on the good, great, mighty things that the Lord has done on our behalf. Proclamations of his character as well as his mighty acts. Revelatory grace, things he's shown us. Biblically based testimony that imparts something of God's mind and heart and liberation of operation and how he's caused us to realize and personalize his acts of kindness and might on our behalf. At times when we do that, in fact, very often, folks, From our personalized testimony will proceed a shaft of prophetic light that will strike someone else right in the bullseye of their need and desire, and there'll be a transfer of the same experience that we had to them. Proclamation of testimony often is resultant of prophetic statement and a transfer, a transaction of the heart, in which we hear of the blessed event in somebody's life and the Lord underscores it with a dynamic ditto and says, you also take that and make it yours. Let me illustrate. It was probably about 3 months ago. I was getting ready for the day, and I was in front of the mirror, and I was shaving, brushing my teeth, and doing the, you know, the morning maintenance routine. And I had the TV on behind me, and it was on one of the God channels, one of the ministries, and I don't even remember which one it was. But there was a testimony to the effect that a number of people in the church had had their blood pressure lowered from speaking to it in the name of Jesus. In other words, the perfect finished work of healing, by His stripes we have been healed. We are healed, and that is in supply, in motion, and it's voice activated at certain junctures. We get that revelation, we give it declaration, and that which has already been supplied becomes an insertion in time and space on our behalf, and we realize a manifestation of that healing. And so I'm hearing repeated testimonies of folks, men and women alike, that have spoken to their blood pressure, and in view of the finished work of the cross, by His stripes we're healed, exerting authority and commanding their blood pressure to be made lower. You know, and I thought to myself, you know, I've known that in principle for the longest time, the authority of the finished work, the power of Jesus' name, to speak to a variety of areas of need and of circumstantial lack and releasing God's supply into it. I said, but you know, I hadn't really thought about that one. And the Lord said, well, think about it now, because I'm telling you now. And He brought to recall that I have had high blood pressure just about all my adult life. And there's been some particular seasons of tension when it's gone up over, well above the hypertension mark. And so I immediately took the testimony, the attestation of God's healing or normalizing of blood pressure, and the testimony of others that had spoken to their blood pressure, and I put down my razor and I said, blood pressure, I command you to go lower in the name of Jesus. I command you to settle into a normalcy in the name of Jesus. And I repeated that, reiterated it over a period of time, over the next few weeks. And my daughter-in-law came into my study and said, Dad, we've got a blood pressure gauge that we're not using here. You might want to keep it and sort of monitor that. And I began to monitor my blood pressure, and it began to take a downward decline. And within a period of about just a few weeks, it had gone from hypertension stage, and it had settled with a consistency to around 120 over 80. The first time in my adult life. Testimony that was translated into a you also prophecy, embracing the grace of it and declaring it in the direction of need. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus is here and His Spirit's so sweet. He's moving among us and washing our feet. Each new breath we're breathing now seems to repeat that Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here and He's touching each mind, freeing us now from the thoughts that would bind. Open your heart and I'm sure you will find Jesus is here right now. He set me free. My Jesus set me free. I was a captive for life, but the Lord set me free. He set me free. Oh, Jesus set me free. Was a captive for life, but the Lord set me free. Sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of your love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. You watch my love grow as a child, sometimes gentle, sometimes wild. Sometimes you just take my breath away. And it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you take my breath away. Yes, it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you take my breath away. Flowing along in word and song, there'll be some personal prophetic encouragements. Unto edification, that's to build up. Exhortation, that's to stir up. Consolation, that's to soothe. That's according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. And always test these things. Lay it alongside the statement of Scripture. Let the Spirit bear witness, and I submit it to pastoral authority here. And think it not absurd that a prophetic word can ride on melody, because the sons of Asaph prophesied on harps, you see. It's prophetic lyric riding on melody. There's a personal word. I'll ask your name. And I think technology is afforded. It's being recorded, and you can listen to it again later, repeatedly if need be, run it by the Revelator. And I trust the bottom line through grace divine would be edification, exhortation, and comfort. My brother, what's your name right here? Danny, a warrior in the arena of life. You've come through much, and you are mentoring others on how to win on the battlefield. I saw you as a man of faith that hears the directives of God and translates those into declarative power, bringing release to yourself but also to others. In fact, Danny, I saw you in the spirit with the movements of a martial artist in spiritual warfare, leaping and spinning and kicking and punching and seeing the demons fly this way and that way. I saw where the enemy was attempting and had attempted to haunt and hammer with blasts from the past, and he was defeated at every turn, as you've seen the victory that is yours, the testimony of the blood of who God is, who you are because of it. And you are coaching other fellow warriors in the same regard, knowing how to use the cutting edge of the rhema, the statement of God's word, in destroying the devices of the devil. Brother, what is your name again?
Paul.
Patriarchal. Exhortative. Gift of exhortation. It's like a fire in the family room. Inviting folks to come in out of the cold. And at times, as folks would draw near and their religious ice would melt and the blessed presence of the Lord was felt, there would be times when a shaft of fire would shoot from the fireplace like a frame thrower and melt chains. A gift of exhortation, a warmth, a fire of heartwarming revelation, at times translated into chain melting heat. Too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you take my breath away. Lady right here, what is your name? Yes. Judy Lynn, a Deborah of the declared word of God, a vessel of the voice of Jubilee in these times, the justice of God intervening and liberating the captives, stripping away the veil from eyes and causing them to realize who the Lord is and who they are by virtue of His grace. A bold intercessor and courageous confessor of the word, and particularly at times concentration and extended family. Sitting right there to Judy Lynn's right is, what is your name? Yes. Tristan. A leader in the making, Tristan. Coming into leadership, hearing the call of God upon your life. As to Him you draw near, He's not going to make into something weird, just highly unusual. You'll declare the word with authority, with signs and wonders accompanying. A young man who wants to see the miraculous, and so you shall see it manifestly so. You know, it's been many, many years ago, but was one of those events that became a well in our memory bank that you draw from, and it gets deeper and deeper as time goes on. It's an establishment of a principle in our lives, a happening in which God speaks to us through a situation, orchestrates a testimony, and we often hear that testimony ringing in our inner ears, and bringing it into meeting as need be for the rest of our lives. Once we've been impacted by a now word of God, it becomes a testimony to our own hearts for the rest of our lives. But it was back when our sons were a lot smaller, and we were on a ministry tour of southern Idaho, and somehow there'd been a mix-up on lodging. And they knew we had been with Youth with a Mission and thought since we had a night off, we'd like to spend it at the KOA campground instead of a hotel room. We're not campers, per se. You know, there were times when I had to do it when I was in the Army, and I did it. You know, it came with the territory. When we were with Youth with a Mission, we lived in a tent or a couple of different tents for a total of 5 months in Venice, Italy, and then Ljubljana, Yugoslavia. Back when there was an Iron Curtain in an Eastern Bloc country, and we did it because it was part and parcel of our job description at the time, and God gave us grace to do it. And we spend a lot of time on the road, and when we get back home, the last thing we want to do is pack up camping gear and head for the hills. We realize that that is blessed R&R with some people, and God bless you, more power to you in that regard. But our idea of roughing it is breakfast on the patio. Southern Idaho, and we had ended up with a borrowed tent and some air mattresses, and I fairly hastily and fairly skillfully, because I knew how to do it, put up the tent. And our kids were moving about and playing around, and sun was going down, and it was just approaching time for bedtime. And our oldest boy said, Dad, Ryan and I, Derek, my oldest, Ryan, his younger brother, we saw a snake sitting on top of a rock. And I said, well, let me go take a look at this. And there it was, coiled up on top of the rock. Now, my roots actually go back to the Deep South, and we've got four different indigenous poisonous snakes to the Deep South, with the copperhead, the rattler, water moccasin, the coral snake. And you learn to recognize them by sight quite readily. And I thought, my goodness, that's a rattler. I hadn't seen one in Idaho. And so I reported to the camp director that there was a poisonous snake perched on the rock. And he said, you know, I've never seen a poisonous snake in these parts. And I said, well, yeah, and I'd suggest you take your two-edged spade with you on this one. And he reluctantly did so and looked. And sure enough, the thing was still looking at us on the rock very defiantly. It wasn't going anywhere. And with some rather muscular guns, he took a baseball kind of whack at it, knocked it off the rock, and finished it, decapitated the head from said body, and left it lying there. We went to bed rather nervously that night. The air was leaving out of my mattress. And thankfully, I'd had the foresight to put a stack of dead leaves under it to bolster it. And drifted into a rather nervous sleep, and I had a dream. Now, a lot of my dreams are pizza. Some of them are prophecy, but a lot of them are pizza. This one was prophecy. This was prophecy, and I saw us. We were circumferencing in an orbit the Earth. We could look, and I could see the demarcation of the continents and could just sense out, just the globe as topographers depicted. And I had, up to that time and beyond it, had a fear of heights, acrophobia, it's called. I actually got delivered from that on a ski lift, of all places, when we were in Utah. But it was, fairly pronounced at that point. But I remember of being up there with my family and circumferencing the earth and looking down and just feeling gripped of thinking, this is a long way to fall. And the Lord said, look about 25 feet below you. And I did. And there was this magnificent ram with silver white coat that was kind of parting with the breeze as the ram soared under us. And as soon as I looked down, the fear of heights was removed. Immediately, I began to enjoy the view. And the next morning as I awakened, I was reminded of the scripture. I believe it's Isaiah 58:18. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. It starts out by saying, delight yourself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and you will feed on the heritage of Jacob. That is, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, the joy of discovery, of revelation, we revel in His presence. We delight in the life that He's given us, thankfully. He causes us to defy gravity and ride with the buoyancy of the resurrected one above the negative magnetism of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and causes us to feast and feed on the inheritance of the promise of Abraham, who was blessed in all things. And we find this kicks in as we're willing to crucify the flesh, to resist the conformity of this world, to reject the devil on the basis of the blood and say, I'm God's possession, no trespass in here. And we are released to move in a riding on His risenness above those things that had once had us in the grip of its gravity. And it can look like a long way to fall. And I've had people that have just been delivered from an addiction saying, I'm soaring like an eagle, but I'm looking down and there's a fear of falling. I said, well, the same Lord that set you free can keep you that way. And I immediately thumbed over into my book on types and shadows to see the ram. And it said, Christ our provision. You'll remember the story of Abraham and Isaac as he proceeded to the top right at the 11th hour and 59th minute. There's a ram in the thicket. He has provided for our deliverance from sin's penalty, but also from the gravity of its power, as we learn to ride on His risenness and in reckless abandon turn ourselves over to the overcomer, relinquish self-sourced independence, and give ourselves over to Him as our source, sufficiency to live for His glory and realize the utmost of soul prosperity is that which is on deposit in our spirit would be translated into our soul, and we would become whole and become generous in the overflow of expressing that to others. And I thought, well, there would be occasions after that in which it would seem like that this we were in a particular height of just God's grace. And the enemy saying, with any aircraft fire, it's a long way to fall. And I hear the Lord say, remember the ram. Remember the ram. Are times when situations would be absolutely over our heads and our demand, and we need to become airborne. And the Lord said, spread your wings of worship and faith and catch the upward currents. And know that I am your sufficiency in this. In your weakness, my power is made perfect. Remember the ram. Remember the ram. Testimony. Maybe tonight some of you need to remember the ram. Maybe you're on the height of having been set free from something, and the enemy says, just wait till I get you down in the valley again. Your testimony is remember the ram. Remember the ram. Maybe faced with a confrontation, a obstacle, a mountain, an attack on your bodily being and your emotions, and it just seems to be an overwhelming tsunami, and you need to ride on his risenness above it. Know he's your sufficiency to become airborne, high altitude living. Remember the ram. Remember the ram. Praise the name of the Lord. Coming apart, getting fresh transfusions of the heart. Psalmist said, early in the morning while I seek thee, an old Montana cowboy would put it like this. And by the way, we hail not from Montana. That's a great state. But we hail from Boise, Idaho since 1991. Another brisk Montana morning, golden glimmer has me blinking. Rising now, I hear me creaking. Down the hall I toil to the place I meet with Jesus. Feed the empty stove and arm load. Soon the room is bright with warm glow. Coffee pot is dancing to a boil. Divine appointment, his name is just like ointment. Rubs it into my needy soul. I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Inner fire is rising as he stokes it with his rod. Out my window there I gaze, and I scan the morning's golden haze. Two deer bolt across the yard. The Lord renews my youth. My spirit leaps and runs with Jesus through the meadows of his kingdom. Brightness of his fragrant freedom, grazing on the greatness of his truth. Divine appointment, his name is just like ointment. Rubs it into my needy soul. I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Inner fire is rising as he stokes it with his rod. Lady in red here, what is your name?
Joy.
Joy? Joyce or Joy? Joyce with a sign in the end of the joy. Okay, Joyce. I got it. I got it. Thank you for spelling that out. A tribute to God's faithfulness, a living epistle, easy transcribed upon by the indelible ink of the Spirit, who is written upon the soft parchment of your heart, that God is faithful, that God is love. And you're easily read, whether you're speaking or not, Spirit-led, as the radiance of his light shines through you, with the assertion, the testimony that God is love and God is faithful. And at times your speech does lovingly reach with healing love. And at times just your demeanor is a demonstration of the revelation of God's faithfulness and loving kindness. What's your name, my brother?
Mark,
learning to hear the voice of the Lord. Learning to hear his voice. Sometimes it's a voice like many waters. It's liquidly living. It's got a freshness about it. Content is always truth, but there's a certain tone to it. His sheep know His voice. Those that recognize the Supreme Shepherd. At times it's like a trumpet. It's clarion. You hear it amid other sounds and yet it stands out. Remember my army days. At the end of the workday, you'd hear the bugle in the distance. And maybe it was against the backdrop of a lot of sounds going on, guys working or playing volleyball or shooting hoops or something, but there was a certain distinct clarion sound to it, and guys would stop and stand at attention and salute the flag. Sometimes his voice is as a trumpet or many waters. Both of those analogies appear in Revelation, the first chapter. And sometimes it is like thunder. It has kind of a velvet rumbling, authoritative ring to it. We can be listening to the bad news, but we listen between the lines of thunder divine that says, I'm getting ready to raise the curtain on revival visitation that will make all others pale by comparison. I'm going to bare my right hand and evoke a spirit of epidemic repentance, godly sorrow that responds to my goodness, and many will race into the arms of grace. You're learning to hear His voice, Mark. Where the enemy had tried to harass and hammer and haunt from previous failure, the Lord silences the hissing accusations of the serpent. And remind you, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, there's correction because He loves us, but not a grinding under His thumb. Praise the name of the Lord. I long to walk where Your fullness dwells, drinking the power from the depths of Your well. Just keep me free for Your glory to tell, walking in our first love. Make me the man You want me to be, knowing new wonders Your glory to see, as You keep me this child so adoring to be, walking in our first love. Lord Jesus, each time I call on Your name, let nothing in me Your glory restrain, trusting in You Your own will to gain, whether it's whirlwind or soft summer rain. And when the sunrise graces each dawn, let all of yesterday's chapter be gone, all of its glories and all of its wrongs, leaving today and You, leaving today and You. Way toward the back on my right-hand side, lady with blonde hair and it looks like a blue-gray jacket or sweater. What is your name? Yes. Colette. A marvelous deep work of inner healing going on, Colette. Just a tender soul massage of His hands with the balm of Gilead. He's come to set at liberty those that are bruised, and sometimes life's collisions, and most all of us have had them. They impact our emotions, and it's an internal bleeding within, and it seems to be pain sensitive to the slightest brush or touch or suggestion. But the Lord does intervene, and His healing hand so deeply touched Colette, 'cause He loves you oh so much. And where a previous relationship that was leaned upon, it broke like a brittle crutch and stabbed you as you fell on the way down. And the Lord said, honey, I know what it is like to be stabbed in the side, and My piercings were for you, and My resurrection life just caused you to rise. And He lifted you up to look Him in the eyes. And He said, into wholeness you're being led, as He cupped your face in His hands and said, I am the Bridegroom, the glory and the lifter of your head. Glory and the lifter of your head. And that was a you also to a number. That was a prophetic word, an attestation of what's going on by way of process coming into wholeness. And that was translated prophetically to several of you in this room here. As indeed each of the other words were to some degree also. Scattered roses in the rain. Long lost joys from seasons past. You've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul. You made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. I stared into the night, sought rhyme or reason for my mind. When I saw your coming light shine on me where I was blind, your dying soul began to breathe. You filled what once was empty space, created there a shelter with your healing embrace. But scattered roses in the rain, long lost joys from seasons past, you've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul, made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. Very often, folks, the Lord will underscore revelation in our hearts. Might be, in fact, it well often is, something that we've learned before. And yet He will illuminate an even expanded measure on what a treasure revelation knowledge is. That is the impartation of His heart and mind to ours. You know, I'd been having a bad few days, just almost a domino effect. And the next thing you know, I found myself trying to walk out the Christian life on my own power, out of obligation. There's a phrase for it, it's dead works. And dead works will also always kick up our baser inclinations of evil works. And the next thing you know, our conscience becomes an extremely bad bedfellow. Now, the highest call of the conscience is to bear witness with the truth and be the ally of faith, as in faith and a good conscience. We wrap our heart around the sight and sound with belief of revelation knowledge, and our conscience says, amen. And it's like they are agreeing, twins, faith and a good conscience. The next thing our faith, conscience will do is warn us when we're drifting off into legalism or lawlessness. And if we step in the junk in the pasture, we need to be quick to repent, and we all do. And the Lord washes the feet with the water of the Word. The next thing you know, our walk again is renewed with that sweet childlike innocence. But if we let it fester and we're determined to turn things around on our own power, and dead works start dredging up the nastiness from the depths of the flesh, our conscience becomes a bad bedfellow, an evil conscience. Ah, we hear the Lord speaking to us in the North 40 of God knows where, because He knows where, beckoning us back home, and said, you can count on my love. Oh, come with faith unfeigned in the surety of my love and acceptance with you. and let me apply the blood that's already been shed on the conscience in you and sprinkle it clean from both dead and evil works, and our innocence is renewed and we're reacquainted in greater depth with the testimony of the blood that says we have forgiveness of sins. We stand judicially perfect and unaccused in the sight of God in our spirit. His desire is that we walk in the light of that, and that marvelous truth in our spirit is translated into our soul realm, and our walk is charged with walking in forgiveness. The blood also says that we stand in His righteousness as a gift of His grace, the product of His perfect performance, and we step in the light thereof, and Father God, no longer our judge, is our Father of love, and He sees us in view of the blood-red hue of the lens of the blood of the Lamb, and His voice fills the universe and rattles the stars with a hallelujah chorus as He says, "You are righteous through the blood of My Son." And the blood says that covenant life, that is life with a capital L, has been released into motion through the death of the testator, and all His blood is supplied, He enforces by His life. Oh, Lord, thank You for the truth of the blood. Lord, I just reflect, and right there in my car, there was this marvelous restoration, a cleansing of conscience, a release from legalism and the lawlessness that it provoked, renewed to the forgiveness and righteousness that's a gift of grace. And you know, when we rely on righteousness as a fact through Calvary's act, the spirit of righteous rises in us, the purity of His operation, we give it our cooperation, which is called obedience, and there's the formation of the fruit of righteousness in our lives, and we move forth in authority, declaring His righteousness, things as they should be, into situations of chaos and corruption. It may require repetitive statement, but eventually that battering ram of the great I Am breaks down the gates of hell. Hallelujah. That's the fivefold truth of righteousness. Hallelujah. It's a gift through Calvary's act. It's an operation of His purity within us. It's our cooperation of obedience. It's the formation of fruit. And it is the declaration of authority into situations where heaven would invade earth to establish righteousness, things as they should be. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I found myself declaring the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood testifies. It said, God is extravagantly, generously, sacrificially loving. I am sacrificially loved. I am forgiven. I am righteous. I am risen. I am a partaker of covenant life with a capital L, and move in authority, shining the light into dark situations and causing the demons to scatter like roaches where they had dwelled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I thought, very often there's this transaction, the reminder of a revelation. The Lord returns us to the square one of a spiritual reality. We're released from legality and lawlessness, and we recognize that it's by virtue of the blood, and having heard His inner voice, seen the revelation that makes our soul rejoice, we declare into the air the blood of the Lamb that says, I am God's possession, bold as My confession. The prince of this world has nothing in Me. Praise the Lord. And there was a testimony, and there was a transaction of a number of prophetic receptions throughout this room now, of some that have had a bad week or a bad couple of days or maybe a bad season or a bad chunk of years. Praise the name of the Lord. They overcame Him with the blood of their Lamb, their blood-based testimony of who God is, who we are as a result of it, and what we have as a result of it. We have intimacy with God. We have identity as sons and daughters. We have authority to tread upon serpents, and we have a hope and a future, a destiny. That's the inheritance of Jesus that has been made ours. The Spirit reveals us, reveals it and leads us into the experience of it in growing measure. Often we need to testify with the testimony of the blood and all of its attached realities. Praise the name of the Lord. Spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. Mighty works that he has wrought in our lives. And as we attest to these things, very often we'll hear them and think, you know, God's good. I love that brother or sister. It's good to see good things happening to them. I rejoice with them. And that's good. That's spectators, witnesses to testimony, but sometime it is forged into a shaft of personalized light that says, you also, take that and make it yours for sure. Whether it's speaking to your blood pressure, whether it's declaring the blood of the Lamb and the truth thereof and God's extravagant love and driving the enemy away, whether it's faced with difficult situations, tsunamis of trial, and remembering the Ram, Christ our sufficiency, the great I Am, who acquaints us with high altitude living in the heights of the earth as we delight in Him and feast on the promise of Abraham that's been consummated through His seed, Christ Jesus, as we have become a part of His extended family. And there is getting ready to be this marvelous dispensing of revelatory grace that's going to shine on natural Jewry as a multitude of natural Israelites will come into covenant relationship, restored promise, and in enjoying the promises that we, the redeemed, do enjoy as He will is taking of twain and making it one.
Amen.
You know, I don't replace Israel with a church, and I don't replace the church with Israel. He makes it all one in the inclusion in Christ, and He is doing some marvelous things in these end times and bringing it into expression. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't want to cut this off prematurely. 12 strings can get a little moody with the change of the seasons. The Lord is posturing Himself and is already moving to evoke a third great awakening. It's already started at many points of the globe, folks. It's already starting. We're starting to get it here. We tend to be a little cerebral at the expense of the heart, we Americans. But we're starting to recognize that He is the God of grace, which is the operational power of His favor that has done and is doing what we could never do in and of ourselves, and repenting from self-sourced independence and stepping forward with faith, might be baby steps or a spastic stagger in connecting with the flow. Holy Spirit on the go. National revival. This was seen through the eyes and the songwriting ability of Mr. John Raymond Cash toward the end of his career when he penned this song. Jesus was a carpenter, worked with a saw and a hammer. You know, his hand could form a table true enough to stand forever. And he could have lived his life out in the little town of Nazareth. But he laid aside his tools and he walked the burning highways, built a house with folks like you and me, living stones, each one his own. And he found them as they wandered in the wild Judean mountains, called them as they cast their nets on the Sea of Galilee. For 1,000 evenings, as the days behind him ended, walked among the poor, and he stopped to touch the dying, built a house with folks like you and me. So move again, Lord Jesus, move as a carpenter among us. Men build chapels to their discontent, cathedrals to their sorrow. Many live in golden mansions with the sand for a foundation, and the raging waters rising. God, the raging waters rising. Yet you build your house on rock once more today, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God bless America, land that I love. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie to the ocean white with foam. Oh, God bless America. Let's take it home. My home, sweet home. God bless America. My home, sweet home. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God bless that to your heart and soul this evening. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.